You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 324. It's going to be legend. Wait for it. Number one. And welcome to episode 324 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and I am, hears things much more clearly now, boy, because I got some really cool new headphones for Christmas. So it's like I'm wearing my cans, Darren. I'm wearing my cans.
You got your cans on?
I'm wearing my cans so I can being all official and stuff. But yeah, I was thinking it just during the theme. It was like, ooh, I can hear the bass. There it is.
You know I'm all about the bass.
I know. No treble, sir. So there we have it.
Well, excellent. I am Darren Noel, and I am studying for the GMAT boy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Fun. All that stuff that, you know, you studied in high school. Yeah, you need to know that stuff, apparently. And it's been a while since I did a quadratic equation, so trying to, like, get caught up. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So.
You know what? I think you'll get into it once you do, because
it's like riding a bicycle. Once you take a standardized test, you've taken them all. And really, a lot of standardized testing is all about test strategy.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is not about figuring out the answer. It's about your test strategy. So it's like, I've decided that this part of all this stuff, I am going to guess at. I've already made that decision because it's like, you can't have a calculator during this test.
This is
asking for square roots of like 80 things. Not 80, but you know, it's a lot of handwritten calculations to do it. And that's not my strong point. So I know the odds of me getting it wrong are already pretty big.
Yeah.
Where a guess is just as good as actually trying to plow through it. So that becomes a guess. Yeah. Have a nice day.
Yeah. How many more can I fill in?
Exactly. Yeah. C. Ooh.
When in doubt, pick C.
When in doubt, pick C.
That's what drunk Tom Hanks said.
Well, he's not wrong half the time.
He had a whole bottle of vanilla extract.
Did he?
And a glass, which he forgot to share with Alex. And of course, a glass of maraschino cherries. So.
Well, of course, like you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So from
that to bosom buddies to Oscar award winner. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Mm. So Matt and Scott, both out there in deep space this evening, which means for the rest of us. No, it's not. No, it's not Festivus.
No, it's not Festivus.
No, what it means is Darren and Paul's event theater.
Woohoo!
So we are going to dig into Legends this week. Uh-huh. Other than that, how was your holiday?
It was good. Guess what I got? Guess what I got?
Tell me what you got. Tell me what you got.
I got Superman slippers.
Nice.
Which, you know, you always need a new pair of slippers. I don't care who you are. And I got the Golden Collection of Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The 6 DVD set, and I'm saving that for after the GMAT. That's going to be my candy for after the test.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm going to need to download a whole bunch of crap at that moment and go, oh, at least it's over, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that then. And
it will be glorious.
I have never been happy to unwrap something and see the word Hot Wheels. It's just not my thing. Hot Wheels, not my thing. Mm-hmm. No. My brother won a Hot Wheels original Batmobile replica in a raffle and gave me the Batmobile, like from the 68 show.
Yeah.
So that sucker's staying in the box.
Nice.
For obvious reasons. But now I own a Batmobile. No. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, right? Cool.
That's awesome. Well, in the theme of superhero stuff, my girls both got matching sets of Superman PJs, Woo-hoo! Or as Ella says, Supergirl PJs, Daddy. And, you know,
gender,
like,
is very important to Ella.
Yeah,
yes.
Blue with the red cuffs at the bottom, and of the legs. It's got the utility belt, and yeah. So,
which begs the question: why does Superman have a utility belt?
Well,
but let's move.
Well,
on.
Not a utility belt, but a belt.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And anyway, so of course, pictures of them wearing them.
Aww.
Ridiculously adorable.
Of course. And, of course. I would expect nothing else.
Yeah. So yes, they were all about the...
they were totes adorbs.
Oh, my gosh. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Yeah, it was... Sarah's still not quite aware of what Christmas is. She just knows that her sister is crazy excited about it. So,
yeah.
So it must be cool.
Yeah, it must be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So... So yeah, they had a good time, and Ella got some further artwork stuff. That's right, she got fashion plates. Mm-hmm. Does anyone remember fashion plates?
Vaguely.
Yeah, my sister had them when we were kids. So we're going back a ways, and she got them for my sister or for Ella. But I think there was a little bit of a I'll get to play with them with her.
Uh-huh.
My
a little bit of that.
Very yeah. smart with this stuff. And so she got that, and Ella must have made about, God, literally over 100 pictures with this thing over Christmas Day and Boxing Day. And it was like, and I think that's a very conservative estimate. She used up all the paper that came with it, and I gave her a stack of paper that we cut in half. And so, you know, it was 100 sheets is 200 sheets and for this thing, because it uses a smaller paper size. And she went through all of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
she might have an obsession.
She might, yes. So it's been all about drawing and everything for her as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
that's been exciting. Yes. So a good week overall.
So I do have some Legion news to report.
Outstanding.
So my friend who borrowed my Great
yes.
Darkness saga hardcover.
Yeah.
I need to tell everyone out there, because everyone else will know about this and laugh to yourself like I did. I said, he's like, done. It was the Facebook message I got. I was like, really? Because I'd only given it to him a week beforehand.
Yeah.
So he like devoured it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. I was like, you realize that was 2 years of comics. I had to wait 2 years to read that story. bastard. And I said, so any thoughts? He's like, shrinking Violet's a hoe. I just went, excuse me? And then I realized, oh, because at the very end of the Darkness Saga, in that little story you get about the Green Lantern Corps,
yeah,
that's when you discover that Duplicate Boy's upset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's on his way.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Well, and
I guess she's a little bit of a hoe, isn't she? Maybe that'll get explained.
wait till your friend reads The Curse.
I know.
Yeah,
I know, right? I'm waiting for that. He's going to be like, what? I can't wait.
Exactly. And what's great is he's only really ever known
Yura.
Yura, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, because I think does he get Night over Nullport in that one?
Yes.
So he did get one episode with Vi in it, one issue with the actual Vi, but
right during the volleyball game, essentially.
Well, yeah, the because the whole thing was Yura took over the morning before they went off to Cundia with Cam.
Right.
So the Night Falls over Nullport story is the last Vi appearance until 305.
Right. Yes, that's right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So
So he got one appearance of her, certainly not enough to ascertain any personality differences. So it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting when that hits. So I can't wait. I want to actually be there in the room when he reads it. I really do. I want to just be watching him with popcorn waiting for that moment to happen and go, what? I can't wait.
Yeah,
that's my Legion. That's my Legion news. I know it's not Legion news, but I thought it would be fun.
Well, he finds out that she's a dirty Derlin.
A dirty, dirty Derlin. Wait till he finds out Colossal Boy's Jewish.
Oy.
Oy.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, you know, going back to that time, mm-hmm. as we're about to.
Very close to that time, yes.
Yeah, I just kind of want to bridge the gap. A few weeks back, we did the Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Which brought to a close the Silver Age of Super, or really the Bronze Age of Superman, but the pre-crisis age of Superman, suffice to say. And so we're going to do Legends, which came out, cover date, November 86, so came out in August. For some reason, I thought that this was much later, but I guess, because there was a Legends tie-in, I think issue 2 of Superman, or 2 or 3 was a Legends tie-in. But that must have been tied into the later issues of Legends, because, as we learned, Man of Steel was cover dated October 86.
Mm-hmm. Now, issue 1 and 2, yes.
That's right. So, because it was released bi-weekly. And we had 3 months of that, and then the Superman series started. Legends was 6 issues, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
It was a monthly.
Legends yeah, because Superman number 1 would have come out probably concurrent with Legends 4, or thereabouts.
Uh-huh.
So that gives us a bit of context. So I'm just gonna go. I've got the
yeah. So basically, New Superman had just started as Legends hit the door. So
yeah. So for a lot of people, this might have been part of their introduction. Well, it was part of everyone's introduction to Superman. This was really because by this point we had 2 issues of Man of Steel out. This was the first time we'd seen him interact with other.
Yeah, because Superman DC hadn't heroes. Really, like, appeared quite yet.
Exactly, because...
I mean, there was the... I think Man of Steel 3 has Batman on the cover.
Yeah, and so that was... Okay, so that was out in the same month as this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... That's right, we had the first issue. And then issue 2... was that Lois Lane?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, meet reporter Lois Lane. She's after the story of the century. So it gives us an idea. Also, in relation to the Legion, Legion of Superheroes Annual Number 2 had just come out. Child of Darkness, Child of Light. The sequel to The Curse.
Who could they be talking about?
Yeah. And in regular Legion issues, it was Legion of Superheroes Number 27. Four revealing vignettes in the very different lives of Legionnaires as depicted by Paul Levitz in a Legion of Guest Artists. So that was the, that one.
That was, where White Witch went back to
that's right, yes,
Xerox and, Elmalad and Siobhan spent some time together.
Yep.
Projectra left Orlando officially and, Colossal Boy and Yura had a moment, I believe.
Exactly.
It's what's on the cover at least. So.
Yeah. So, just to looking at the DC releases for October 86, thank you, Lehman. From Out of the Green Dawn comes the launch of the most significant miniseries in the history of comics. No hyperbole there.
No, none.
There's more. As Action Comics number 1 reshaped the medium in 1938, so the Man of Steel number 1 will change comics in 1986.
Forever.
Forget everything you know about Superman's past. This is the beginning of how it really happened and how it really looked, and the beginning of how it will happen in the 3 sensational new Superman titles that debut this fall. At long last, John Byrne takes on the Man of Steel, and nothing will ever be the same.
So true, but also in October of 86, you're forgetting the pivotal issue that finally shipped, DC Challenge number 12.
Oh, yes. How could I forget that?
Very easily, sir.
Yeah.
That was a cluster of epic proportions. Good idea. Execution.
Execution. Indeed.
Execution. Aye. But we also had Watchmen going on this time. So
yeah, issue 3 was coming out this month. So, but wait, there's more.
Of course, always more.
Man of Steel ships twice a month with story and pencils by Byrne and inks by Dick Giordano. Each of the six issues reveals vital new facts about Superman, his allies, and his enemies, his family, and his homeworld of Krypton, the doomed planet.
Mm-hmm.
As a special thank you to our dedicated fans who support comic shops, DC is running a special cover on the first copies of Man of Steel number one.
Uh-huh.
And only direct sales outlets will receive this one-of-a-kind edition. Because remember, at the time, newsstands were still going.
Yep. Although they were becoming harder and harder to find.
Yes, so, that's right.
At least, where I was, it was all direct for us.
Yeah, I could find these at the Hasty Market around the corner.
The Hasty Market.
Hasty Market, yeah. So the newsstand edition, as well as reorder copies at specialty stores, will carry a completely different cover, both by John Byrne, of course. And the one they're referring to is the close-up shot of him opening the shirt to reveal the S symbol.
Yeah. Not Superman's hairy chest, because that was a new thing that happened.
That's right.
That Superman was hairy in the new universe for some reason.
Indeed.
I'm not complaining. I'm just stating that was a definite aesthetic change from
Absolutely.
Superman beforehand.
Yeah. There's so much more we want to say about this one. How John is already at work on both Superman and Action Comics, which will now feature team-ups of Superman and other DC heroes for their fall debuts. How Marv Wolfman and Jerry Ordway will be taking over the very special Adventures of Superman monthly. How a beautifully designed Superman pin will be available at comic shops for $4.95 to help celebrate the occasion. And most of all, how truly exciting every page of Man of Steel is. But sure. All we have room for is to say this, once again and at last, the Man of Steel as he should be, the greatest hero in comics. So that was the release info for Man of Steel number one.
And in case anyone's wondering, Stan Lee did work for DC for a few days.
Apparently, yeah. So, yeah, so that gives us a bit of background on that. Now we turn so Legends started, and we'll get into more detail, but we'll go through the first issue, but really here's what the solicit info said for November of '86 cover date. Legends, the future revealed, and they show a picture of Darkseid holding on to Captain Marvel. With the familiar kablam right behind it. Firestorm fighting Brimstone, and Cosmic Boy getting out of some wreckage and getting out of a shirt, it looks like. So they say, to get the full scoop on DC's monumental miniseries, we went straight to senior editor Mike Gold. Well, briefly put, says Mike Gold, Legends examines the role of the superhero in our society. It begins as an intellectual debate between two demigods, the Phantom Stranger representing hope and optimism, and Darkseid representing the evil side of human nature. By the end of the first issue, the reader is launched into an incredible epic drama that involves no less than 22 heroes, 10 villains, and 3 super teams, and that's just within the confines of the Legends miniseries. The 6-part series is written by Len Wein and John Ostrander. So we already know we're in for something good.
It's good.
Yeah. Penciled by John Byrne and inked by Carl Kessel.
John Byrne is basically a madman right now.
Busy mofo at this stage. Wein and Ostrander have been working closely for months with DC editors and creators to ensure that Legends will indeed be a landmark series in the history of the DC universe. Events that will happen in Legends will affect the storylines in at least 15 other DC titles. The results will be so staggering that no less than 4 new titles will be launched. And what were they? The New Flash. Yeah.
I believe Suicide Squad.
Indeed. Cosmic Boy. And, of course, the revised Justice League. And that would do okay business.
And Cos was a mini series. So.
That's right. So there's a bit of, again, a bit of hyperbole going on.
Yeah.
Readers will be able to follow the crossover series with their special Legends crossover cards.
Of course.
These wallet-sized cards listing all the Legends crossovers are available free from your favorite comic book store. This might have been one of the earlier times that happened. Well, that's kind of standard now, right?
We need to give them a checklist.
Yeah.
Of what they need to buy.
But that checklist, I mean, they were still doing those checklists for Blackest Night.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean,
think the first one I saw was the Mutant Massacre tale over in X-Men. Because that went all over the place.
That's right, yeah.
For a couple of months. So, yeah. These have been around since I've been collecting comics.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
And I realized, oh, it didn't used to be this way?
Yeah. So this might have been one of the earlier ones because they didn't do it for Crisis.
No, they did not. You just had to guess.
It was everything. Everything after the first 3 months.
Pretty much. Yeah. Every episode of All-Star Squadron, every episode of Infinity.
Oh, but you know what? If you don't have a comic store near you and you you go to the newsstand and you want to have one of these, you can just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Legends Crossover Cards, DC Comics, 666 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10103. Supplies are limited. So if you don't have a comic book store, how are you getting the damn releases?
I have no idea. None.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So again, let's speak context. I'm worried that we might accidentally miss this. And couple of things. Just to the back of this, it's almost like a meanwhile column.
and we know how you love those.
Almost. It says, I walked into the office of Coach Bob. Okay, Bob, do you have... Let's Go Bullets. Okay, Bob, do you have the baseball scores ready for DC releases? He growled. I backed away. What's wrong? I asked. You better have the fans send more postcards. We lost the first game. We lost the last game. How many games have you played? 2. Okay, fans, it's that time of year. Send your postcards saying, I support the DC Bullets to Coach Bob at DC Comics. Have a great summer.
Coach Bob.
But this is here's one that's kind of important and, again, ties in with what we're going to be talking about. The DC staff memo read, let's celebrate. Join us in helping Julie Schwartz celebrate the closing of his last Superman title after an inspired run that lasted 17 years.
Aww,
and so, a few days later, all the DC staffers joined Julie at the conference room to salute his reign as editor. Jeanette Kahn, DC's president and publisher, toasted Julie with best wishes from the entire lineup of DC creators and staff. The cake was cut, a messenger arrived with a telegram from Los Angeles. Writer Harlan Ellison, a longtime friend of Julie's, sent his congratulations.
Wow.
The conference room phone rang, time for the mystery phone call that had been arranged in advance. It was Julie's first client, author Ray Bradbury.
Wow.
Julie was once a literary agent and sold the initial 70 stories that Bradbury wrote. Alan Moore telephoned a few minutes later from London with best wishes on behalf of all the British DC creators. Alan Moore called. not something someone says often in the DC offices these days.
No, not really.
Says Vice President and Executive Editor Dick Giordano. Julie is a tough act to follow. Andy Helfer, the new Superman editor, and John Byrne will have to work from the high set of standards that he has set. I know all of you reading this join me in congratulating Julie. He's certainly earned his DC office title as the oldest living legend. May the legend live forever.
Well, see, I had the honor of meeting Julie Schwartz before he passed away, and he was an amazing man.
Very cool.
Very, very nice man. He was very gruff. He was very New York, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
To the fans, he was extremely cordial. And I was a kid back then when I met him.
Yeah.
I think I might have been 16. And he was just
so not far off when this happened.
Yeah. About this time. Yeah. He was just as pleasant as he could be.
Very nice.
You know? So.
So some other things that came out around this time. Secret Origins number 8.
Yeah, Shadow Lass and Doll Man.
That's right. Cover by Steve Lytle. The Doll Man story was Roy Thomas with art by Murphy Anderson. And Shadow Lass was Levitson, Tom Mandrake. Nice. Mm-hmm. Also, Angel Love number 4. Fury of Firestorm 53. So still just toward the end of... and I guess Conway was still around for another 15 issues or so. But Stein learns that he has a fatal illness, and Firestorm meets his deadliest foe, Steel Shadow.
Who was never heard from again.
Yeah. But, hey, we live in a world where Firestorm's on TV.
I know, right? What's up with that?
Seriously. Outsiders number 13 by Mike Barr and Jim Aparo, with also that had a Black Lightning story with art by Steve Ditko and Jerry Ordway. Interesting.
Yep.
Vigilante 35, Kupperberg and Patton. So we still had another 15 issues or so left of Vigilante. This was the Adrian Chase.
Oh yeah, Adrian Chase.
Yeah.
Punisher.
Yep. oh my. Hex number 15. This is when Giffen started his run on Hex. So Keith Giffen, this was the futuristic Jonah Hex title. Uh-huh. Yeah, so this is when Keith Giffen first started it, because he made it go crazy. Yeah, Justice League of America 256, Gypsy and Zatanna alone and trapped within the terrifying mind world of Adam.
Yeah, that whole Adam Godhead story, if you've ever read it, it reads like a bad trip.
Yeah.
And, yeah, disavowed. Because I think Zatanna showed up later in Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
and no one was the wiser. Okay.
Son of Ambush Bug number 5. This is when he goes on trial and throws himself on the mercy of the court and misses.
of course he does.
Yeah, Watchmen number 3.
Nothing happens in that book.
Is Dr. Manhattan Earth's greatest hero or its greatest menace?
Yes.
Yes. Elvira's House of Mystery number 9.
Poor thing booted Cain and Abel right out of their books.
No kidding.
with both her girls. Boom, boom. So,
Legion of Superheroes number 28. Starboy returns to his home planet, and his stay brings many strange surprises.
Yep, this is the Starboy breaks up with Dreamgirl issue.
Yeah. Dang. Man of Steel number 3, Magpie stalks the streets of Gotham City, and together for the first time, Superman and Batman must track her down.
Mm-hmm. Because Magpie makes her first appearance earlier that month in Batman number 401.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Yeah. Exactly. Just after year one.
She was one of those, I don't know if it was a name that had been used previously in DC Comics, but she was one of those brand new villains created for Legends, you know, so... They hyped her up a little bit.
Indeed.
And, of course, my favorite comic this month, Amazing Man 11. Thank you.
Yes.
Because, come on. Come on. How can you not love Amazing Man?
Indeed. Blue Beetle number 6. In the heat of battle, the Beetle and the Question uncover the mystery behind the teen gang wars. This was, of course, written by Len Wein, art and cover by Paris Cullen and Bruce Patterson, and we will see Blue Beetle very shortly.
Mm.
And yes, Batman 401 was the first Legends crossover.
Uh-huh.
The villainous...
That's why Magpie got so much press, because yeah. It was the first crossover.
The villainess Magpie is on a jewel-switching spree, and she's out to snatch the Wayne jewels. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
From under Batman's nose. Written by Barbara Randall.
A little further under his nose than you think.
With art by Trevor Von Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Amazing Man. They went to Jones Beach. It was a hot time for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Catastrophe on BC Earth. wow. Let's see.
Some good times in these comics.
GI Combat 286, Electric Warrior number 7, Blue Devil number 30, Adventures of the Outsiders number 39. So this was when they started doing the reprints. Mm-hmm. In that series,
yeah, because Tales of the Legion and Tales of the Teen Titans is still going on as well.
That's right, and Green Lantern Corps 206 featuring Arisia and Hal, Infinity Inc. 32. Happiness is the Psycho Pirate, but then so are misery and stark fear. Johnny Thunder and Thunderbolt. Johnny Thunder. This was the female Johnny Thunder.
Mm-hmm. With an I.
That's right. Make their return appearance in a special issue written by Roy and Dan Thomas. Art by the team of some guy named Todd McFarlane.
I don't know him.
Yeah, and Mike Gustavich and Tony DeZuniga. Superpowers number 3 by Kupperberg, Infantino, and Marcos. Darkseid escapes to Earth, and the mysterious hero called Janus saves the superpowers from a series of attacks.
Now, superpowers was not considered continuity.
It was not. You're correct. Yeah,
it's very like it's almost Super Frenzy.
Yeah,
and they just couldn't call it Super Friends in a way. So
exactly. Swamp Thing 54, old friends return to haunt Abby. Another chiller from Alan Moore with art by Rick Veitch and Alfredo Alcala. One of a part of the run I really quite enjoyed. This was just after the American Gothic. Oh, so good.
Do you need a cigarette, Paul?
Oh,
do you need a
moment alone? I think I do. Mm. New Teen Titans, number 26. The Church of Blood opens its doors to the world as Brother Blood is resurrected on worldwide TV. And this was...
That story went on way too long.
Oh, it really did. Well, it went on well into the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's like, oh my God. And Marv Wolfman confesses that he was definitely struggling with some writer's block
Absolutely.
At this point with the Titans. He didn't really know where to go with them as a group.
Absolutely. Vigilante Annual 2, Adrian Chase goes from judge to defendant while the Vigilante faces off. That's right, because he wasn't the Vigilante anymore. Faces off against Cannon and Saber. Paul Kupperberg writes the story. Ross Andrew and Tony DeZuniga, pencil and ink. Ross Andrew on that. That would have been neat. Warlord 111, Booster Gold number 10.
Look at the booster butt there. He's giving it some of these. He's got an Olympic thing going on here. He's doing some kind of a double camel half Lutz thing on that cover. So I don't know what's going on there, but there's a lot of booster butt on Booster Gold number 10.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Who, the definitive directory of the DC Universe, number 21. Here's a lineup I bet you can't say three times without a slip. Let's try it. Savannah, Skartaris, Starfire, Shrinking Violet, Spanner's Galaxy, Space Ranger, The Spectre, and Stalker.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, okay. All right. And more, written and researched by Peter Sanderson and E. Nelson Bridwell. All right. And a graphic novel called Space Clusters, which was written by Alex Byron cover with painted art and cover by Alex Nino. Mm. He was the most famous, feared, and beloved rogue in the galaxy. She was a lieutenant in the Terran Interplanetary Corps. For 100 years, though she is aged only 20, she's been hot on his trail, determined to capture him. Even if it means turning the universe inside out, which is just what happens.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That's going to be painful.
Hawkman number 4.
As long as it's not Hawkworld anything, we're good. Yeah,
well, it's this was the Tony Isabella stuff. Oh, Hawkworld was awesome.
Even and look, guest starring Zatanna.
Yes.
And that's not a throwback to anything. Yeah. Zatanna made her first appearance in what, kids? Hawkman number 4.
Exactly. All-Star Squadron 63, the origin of the first robot man. They destroyed his body, but his human brain and indomitable spirit light on. This was Roy Thomas with art by Michael Baer, who I always quite liked his art.
How long does All-Star Squadron have at this point?
Not much longer.
I would think not.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months. It was in the... I think it was 67, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. Tales of the Legion 341. This was the reprint of Legion 16. Detective 568. Lords of the Ultra Realm number 6. Doug Munch and Pat Broderick. Tales of the Teen Titans Annual 4, which introduced the Vanguard, which was really...
Never seen again.
New Teen Titans Annual number 1, yeah.
Yeah.
And Legends number 1, the premiere of the series you've all been waiting for, beginning the 6-part epic, a confrontation between the Phantom Stranger and Darkseid.
And, which is kind of amusing because the Phantom Stranger is not in the first issue.
No, exactly.
it's like, wait a minute.
There's a few months still yet to happen. And finally, Teen Titans Spotlight On, number 4. Remember the Spotlight On series?
Yes.
Yeah, so this one was, it was a Jericho issue, though.
Well, it was 4 issues of him not saying anything, because as I recall, he had the longest Spotlight story, and it was 4 issues long.
Marv Wolfman spins the tale of Jericho's hunt throughout Europe for a girl he once loved, as terrorists search out the deadly secret of Prometheum. Penciled by Ross Andrews, inked by Dennis Jensen, covered by Dennis Cowan and Dick Giordano.
So you got to talk about Jericho. For a long time, people, at least back then, thought Jericho was gay.
That's right. They even talked about that in issue. Yeah,
because Jericho is an artist, and he's sensitive, mm-hmm. and he wears the poofy sleeves. But then they had to go out of their way to show him bedding women so that everyone would know, no, he likes girls, because he can't, like, have a thought bubble like, you know, Changeling and say, hey, Goldie, nice Golden Globes, you know. And yeah, it's like, really? I mean, come on. So, yeah, that kind of became a point of annoyance.
That's true. They never even gave him thought bubbles, did they?
No, they didn't. They did. They wanted him to be completely mute. And I'm like, that's kind of – it also says that mute people don't have thoughts, I guess. Or it was just one of those things that Perez wanted to communicate strictly through facial expression. And that's great for an artist of Perez's caliber.
Yes, but considering he left not that long after.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think they should have adjusted that for the future, and they never did.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so let's get into Legends number
Indeed.
One. The epic of the century starts right here.
Didn't you just see Crisis a few months ago? What the? Okay.
That was then.
This is now.
Yeah, take it away, sir.
All right. So on the cover, we have Darkseid, two new characters, Brimstone, and I think that's Maximus Man. We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm sure I messed
that
up.
Don't get too attached.
Yeah, don't get too attached to him. Firestorm, Captain Marvel, Cosmic Boy, Changeling, and Wally West guest starring as The Flash. So we go in, and we have Once Upon a Time, and we see, you know, Burning Apocalypse, our cast of people working on this: John Ostrander, plotter; Len Wein, scripter; John Byrne, penciler; Carl Kiesel, inker; Steve Haney, letterer. And I used to know Steve Haney, because he used to be a local Atlanta guy, and he would go to the cons here, and he's a good guy. Tom Zucchio, colorist; and Mike Gold, editor. And we have a whole bunch of banter about how crazily creepy and controlling and despairing Apocalypse is. So everyone knows all that. Let's skip it, because it gets old. We see Darkseid and D'Assad chatting, and Darkseid says, "Behold perfection, cunning D'Assad. In the gutters below us, no mouse stirs, no head is raised. It's Christmas Eve, even on Apocalypse." No. D'Assad says, "Then all is as it should be, sire." I've always wanted to see Rowan Atkinson play D'Assad. I just have. I don't know why.
This scene just makes me think of the Flash Gordon movie.
Yeah, kind of Ming Merciless.
Clytus, I'm bored.
and Darkseid says, I have forged order from chaos, as was my unalterable destiny, and yet I am ill at ease. You are clever, D'Assad. And that almost sounds like an insult. Tell me why. And D'Assad says, perhaps it's not because not all is in order. Duh. And he's like, perhaps you forget a place called Earth? He's like, I forget nothing, Worm. Don't you forget your place. And his eyes glow red in the background. And D'Assad's thing is he'll jab at Darkseid and then backpedal like a bitch. Jab at Darkseid and backpedal like a bitch. So forgive me, great Darkseid. I sought only to remind you of the trouble Earth has caused you in the past. Earth and its cursed heroes. And we see he's got little statues. He's got an action figure collection. Who knew? Of Martian Manhunter, Flash, Captain Marvel, Batman, Green Lantern, and Superman. And we should actually, since we made a big deal about Green Lantern not being in Crisis, except as John Stewart, we should say Green Lantern is once again now Hal Jordan.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Just for clarification's sake. Darkseid says, I to some of these puny creatures are legends, the stories of their greatness inspiring others to greatness as well. Perhaps the time has come to strike at the core of the problem, to destroy the very concept of such legends. Then perhaps humanity will become more compliant. And Darkseid says, D'Assad, summon Glorious Godfrey and Dr. Bedlin to my chambers. The time is at hand, too. And one of the hunger dogs, I guess, comes in and says, your pardon, sire, but they are already here. Oh, then show them in. And have you two become mind readers as well? And Glorious Godfrey says, hardly your radiance. D'Assad sent for us a short while ago. He said you might have need of us. Oh, did he now? How convenient. But for once, Sly D'Assad was right. I have a little job for you both on Earth. Thank you, sire. I rather enjoyed that inhospitable mudball. D'Assad prepared the techno seed. Kinky.
Because, of course, Godfrey was there during Mr. Miracle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Operation Humiliation has begun, and when it is ended, there will be but one legend left on Earth, mine. So Glorious Godfrey is one of the silver-tongued devils of Apocalypse. He has a way of persuading people who are weak-willed to do his bidding. And Dr. Bedlam, I believe, does a lot with robotics. Like, he can take over things mentally. That kind of a deal.
Yeah. So.
And, of course, Desaad is the head, quote-unquote, scientist torturer of Apocalypse. And Desaad, Darkseid, if you're Legion fans, you know what he does. So we go to Star Labs in New York, and we see Dr. Jeanette Clyburn there. She's featured heavily in Teen Titans and Superman stories at times. And Professor Martin Stein there, one half of Firestorm at this point.
Oh, yeah, and Victor Garber.
I know. And they are working on a new fusion generator. Woohoo, like you do. And at the moment that they press the go button, of course, that's when Darkseid decides to unleash the Techno Seed. Ew. And everything goes crazy, and out of the fusion generator comes this big honking red dude known as the Fallen Angel Brimstone. Now, if you saw Justice League Unlimited, this is the guy who appears in the episode in the first episode, I think, of the Unlimited series where Green Arrow joins.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so he has actually appeared in animation before, and it was impressive. He's a gargantuan dude who apparently radiates enough heat to melt anything close to him. So, yeah, he's a baddie. So Martin Stein does the only thing that's reasonable to do, which is concentrate and create Firestorm. And for Firestorm cast fans.
Yes.
Take a drink. What happens is when either Martin Stein or Ronnie Raymond, the other half of Firestorm, concentrate hard enough, they will summon the other one from wherever they are and zap them next to them, and then they fuse together to become Firestorm. And unfortunately, Ronnie is in the shower when this happens, which becomes a moment of comedic justice because Ronnie is always on the bad end of the Firestorm deal, it seems.
Well, Ronnie was always the – let's keep in mind, Ronnie was the one who usually – originally, because Stein was unconscious at the time, they were fused into Firestorm.
True, true.
He had no knowledge of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was only his subconscious mind that was a part of it. And it wasn't until he really became aware of what was going on that he actually started to remember things about Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
So for years, it was Ronnie who was initiating the transfer.
Yep.
And this caused no end of trouble for Martin Stein.
Of course it did, because he would disappear out of meetings.
And he could provide absolutely no explanation as to why he had suddenly disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, he would, like, go out of the room. And, of course, everyone seemed to not be looking at the time he would disappear.
Of course. Magical hats, right?
And so it caused a lot of trouble for him. It you know, virtually destroyed his career. Things clearly have gotten better. But... Mm-hmm. For a long time, it was a rough go for him. So yes, this is kind of poetic justice, especially that he gets him out of the shower.
Yeah. So they're flying along, zipping around, and Ronnie is cracking wise like he does, and he's trying to zap the thing. Well, zaps don't work because Brimstone's made of living material.
Organic material.
Not a robot, and so that Brimstone grabs Ronnie and tries to, like, squish him like a bug and throws him away, and... Ronnie's looking well, Firestorm's looking the worst for wear here because he's torn his poofy sleeves. He says, Brimstone is definitely out of our league, Professor, and that may be the way to stop him. Well,
I'm sorry, wait a second. Poofy sleeves?
Poofy sleeves.
I'm telling you, if he stops talking, I'm gonna think he's a little late in the loafers.
I'm
just saying.
I know. Well, he's definitely flaming. So
yes, he is.
I'm just saying.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. That was like the low-hanging fruit, sir. I don't get it.
So to speak, yes.
Yeah. So, moving on. That'd be uncomfortable, Martin Stein, if that was happening during... Anyway. So, we skip to our favorite assassin who can't hit anything unless it's in Suicide Squad.
Oh, yes.
Deadshot is perpetrating a crime. And here comes the Flash. And the Flash is armed with a lead pipe. So, he just got out of a Clue game. And Deadshot's trying to shoot the Flash, and Flash is knocking the bullets aside, bing, 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 with the lead pipe.
He's just run out of the Superpowers series,
yeah,
where everything's about product placement for toys.
Yeah, Probably. Mm-hmm. And so Deadshot's like, impossible, he's slapping my bullets back at me. I've got to get out of here while there's still time. Well, that's a cliche statement, isn't it? Because Throck. Deadshot goes down with one punch.
One punch!
And we're reminded that Wally is a little different from Barry as Flash, because we get a little exposition about how when the anti-monitor zapped him, it stopped the disease that was killing him when he used his super speed. But now he's no longer faster than the speed of sound, and he's got to eat tremendous amounts of food to keep up his metabolism so that he can run, or else he'll be exhausted and be unable to function. So they actually – this is one of the things that happened after Crisis, is a lot of the heroes got – depowered in a way, no matter who they were. Typically it happened a lot to the women, though. I do agree with that. A lot of the female characters tended to get the rough side of that, but this is one of the instances where it happened to a guy, where it's like, oh, I've got limitations now, which actually is helpful to a writer.
Well, but Superman got limitations. Mm-hmm. Flash,
not Batman, though.
No, well, because
it's Batman.
Wonder Woman actually was bit as powerful.
She got more powerful.
Yeah.
Because she could fly now. Because she used to not be able to fly, kids.
That's right. She used to glide on air currents.
Mm-hmm.
So who else can you got
depowered? Well, Power Girl got that depower in Justice League International.
Oh, yeah, but that was much later.
It was much later.
And she got better.
Yeah, and Zatanna got exiled off to the Godhead. And of course, Black Canary got the Longbow Hunters. So
yeah. Well, that was
You know, there was a lot of
depowering wasn't the issue there. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But there was a lot of stuff going on, and of course, well, Batgirl. But they turned that one around. So you know, hey, points to them.
Mm-hmm.
Points to John Ostrander for seeing an opportunity there. So, we are going to Titan's Tower, because where else is Wally going to go?
Yep.
Because they're close by, and he knows they've got a fridge. So he shows up in time for G. Gordon Godfrey. I wonder who that could be on the TV talking about the evils of superheroes. And this brought me back to those old clips, Frederick Wortham talking about the evils of comic books.
Oh, and I'm sure that's what they were sourcing for a lot of this.
I am sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Changeling is there making hand gestures at the TV as a monkey. Which there's a comment on society, isn't it? And then Wally says, it's nothing, really nothing in particular, Gar, just another exciting episode of my ongoing identity crisis. Really? Foreshadowing. Gar decides to play armchair psychologist with Wally, and they've known each other for years, obviously, even before the new Teen Titan days. Yep. So they're just talking about how the legend of Flash is so much to live up to, and while he's not sure he can take the pressure of that. Meanwhile, we see Gordon Godfrey is being interviewed by a certain TV reporter named Billy Batson, who might be someone else. And they're talking about that, and we see the interview going on about how superheroes is the costume mystery men provide negative role models for our children. They emphasize violence as a solution to our problems. All the usual stuff that you hear, yeah. But you're not gonna stop Deadshot with a smile and a hug. So okay, and they're talking about how tough it is, and then the power goes out on the TV, and Gar's like, oh, better not be. Or Flash's like, oh, don't tell me we've blown another fuse. Meanwhile, back at the TV station, one of the women is reporting that the roof is under attack. The building is actually being attacked by someone. And so Billy Batson runs off and changes into Shazam! And there's a kablam. And he turns into Captain Marvel. And he takes off. And there's G. Gordon Godfrey in the background saying, perfect, the master will be well pleased. And I guess that's there in case no one put it together about Glorious Godfrey and G. Gordon Godfrey being the same person.
Yeah.
And while he was used in Justice League Unlimited, it was never outrightly stated that G. Gordon Godfrey was a new god and in Darkseid's employ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just used him as a talking head character.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it was a fun episode. It's Macro Man. Because every time I hear Macro Man, I think Macrame. That's why I didn't think of his name. So Captain Marvel goes outside to see this huge gold-suited creature. Looks very Kirby-esque. Look at that headgear. Wow. It's almost like Galactus's outfit, except it's gold. And I guess it's lucky that Captain Marvel's there because Green Lantern would be useless here.
Yes.
You know. So Shazam slash Captain Marvel is fighting the guy, and the guy's fighting back. And then Macro Man manages to get his hands on Captain Marvel. And there's a Shrakoom. Take a drink. Close enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
Shrakoom. That works. And Billy's going through all the lists of his heroes, the strength of Hercules, the wisdom of Solomon. Yeah. So there's a lot of exposition in the fight as well. And then Billy's getting squished by the guy's hand, and he's like, well, the only thing I can do is to shrink down, and I know the way to do that. I'll turn into Billy. And so Captain Marvel yells Shazam, and we get a kablam! Ah! And Macro Man is on fire and yells at Captain Marvel, what have you done to me? And Billy Batson's saying, holy moly, the magic lightning struck Macro Man as well and set him afire. And Macro Man falls off the roof of the building. And before Billy Batson's horrified eyes, the monstrous molten figure staggers backwards, crashing through the reinforced window as if it were so much cellophane, then plunging like a Roman candle to the hungry concrete waiting so many floors below. And Billy Batson thinks to himself, dear Lord, what have I done? My power just murdered that man.
Not good.
Meanwhile, at the Pentagon, this is probably my favorite moment in this whole book.
This, by the way, I feel as though there's another podcast on another Earth that could be doing this very issue.
They could be, because this is the first issue.
Because there really should be a Suicide Squad podcast. Yeah, there
really should be. This is the first issue where we see Miss Amanda Waller.
The Wall.
In all of her glory, I believe.
Yep.
And so we have a gentleman walking down the corridor. He knocks on a door named Task Force X, and he hears it's open. And he opens the door, says, Colonel Rick Flagg, reporting as ordered. Come in and close it behind you, Colonel. And he says, you're Amanda Waller. And she says, you see anyone else in this room? And Colonel Flagg says, yeah, this is definitely going to be a fun relationship. Look, let's get this one thing straight right up front, lady. When I learned Task Force X was being reactivated and I had myself assigned here, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. And we see Waller's hand and says, well, life is just full of little surprises, Colonel, such as Task Force X's first candidates. And there's a stack of files on her desk, and Colonel Flagg picks them up and says, what? Come on, you can't be serious. Are you out of your cotton-picking mind, lady?
Whoops.
To quote Archer, phrasing. And we turn the page, and we see Amanda Waller in all of her glory, not the skinny waif she has become. This is a woman of some size and some intensity. And she says, frankly, I couldn't be more serious, Colonel. And by the way, if you ever again call anything about me cotton picking, mister, I'll stuff those bright shiny eagles on your shoulders so far up your butt they'll be able to nest in your skull. We clear on that?
Phrasing.
Perfectly, Colonel replies. Well, Colonel, we've got a job to do here, and I was told you were the man to do it. The question isn't whether you like the job or me or any of the others I've chosen. The only thing that matters is, can you do the job well? If not, tell me now so I can find someone who can. No man or woman alive can do it better, Mrs. Waller. And for your information, I've never allowed my personal opinions to interfere with the performance of my duty, and I don't intend to start now. Are we clear on that, lady? And Waller says, clear as Mississippi mud, Colonel Flagg. Now, what say we get down to cases? Task Force X may be needed a lot sooner than I thought. Well.
Heck of a cravat he's wearing.
Isn't he? It's nearly an ascot.
It nearly is.
It is that close to Freddie Jones. Meanwhile, we have some familiar for our Legion fans out there. 20th century Earth, one of the most fascinating formative periods in the planet's history, noted for its several world wars and its predominantly organic cuisine. Time Institute guide for the casual traveler. Really? People casually traveled to the past? Now that's not going to screw up history.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Looking at you, Fry. Looking at you. And we have a gentleman sitting at the diner, and he's thinking to himself, I still can't believe I'm actually sitting here in an actual diner in 1986, eating an actual greasy hamburger, reading an actual newspaper with this actual print coming off on my gloves. For an amateur historian, this is heaven. Hope Lydda is enjoying her shopping spree as much. Really? Now, Cosmic Boy has been to the past how many times? Yeah. And he's amazed at this stuff. So, okay, we'll cut some slack for just saying that he is.
Once again, we've brought in a whole bunch of new readers post crisis, yep.
and we have to
just like it. We go through all of Billy's power attributes.
Yep,
it's just in case you missed it. This guy is totally from the future.
From the future. Yep. And the guy behind the camera is like, "Want another cup of Java, kid?" Eh? Oh, you mean coffee, don't you? Yes, I'd love one.
How quaint you call it Java in this time period.
I know, right? Yeah, you're from out of town, ain't you? I can always tell an out-of-towner by his, huh? Scrockhoom, take a drink.
I'm in.
And Kaz says something that is rather stereotypical. Great galaxies! And he takes off his trench coat to reveal that it is Cosmic Boy. This isn't exactly my regular territory, but whatever blew out that diner wall is definitely a problem for Cosmic Boy. And it's Brimstone. Good God, look at the size of that thing. It dwarfs Validus, makes the Infinite Man seem like an infant by comparison. And Brimstone's there. So another false god has come to tempt the wrath of Brimstone. But you will learn. Soon you will all learn. Brimstone serves an angry god, and Brimstone shall not be mocked. And he's like fighting Kaz. And cause like the heat from him is unbearable. If I hadn't activated my protective transuit, I couldn't come anywhere near him. Got to find some way to contain this character before he can burn the city to the ground. And the wreckage of those primitive motor vehicles has provided me with the perfect weapon. And with his mastery of magnetism, I can use these twisted fragments to batter Brimstone senseless. Then I'll manipulate the metal into a gigantic cage captive.
I'm sorry. Take a drink. Come on.
We're explaining how our powers work.
Yeah, exactly. We'll allow that it's only when a Legionnaire does it. Mm. Yeah. Otherwise, the rest of this issue is going to be rough.
Until he can be transferred to the prison planet of Takron Galtos, and the metal goes up to Brimstone's face, but no good. The metal evaporates even as it hits him. Have to think of something else before, and Brimstone puts his hand through a building, says, "You task me, sinner, but not for long. There is more of my master's work to be done, ridding this precious planet of you and your kind. Soon there will be but one god, one master of all the earth." And Ka says, "Great galaxies, he's dropped an entire building on me. Gotta use my magnetic power to repel the falling rubble even as I roll out of its path, or I'm gonna wind up dying 1,000 years before I was born. Look, Quavoom, take a drink." This is going to be a fun page.
Indeed.
And then someone says,
"Not as fun as the next one."
I know. I can't wait. "Need a helping hand, fella?" Who? And you turn the page, and it is Justice League Detroit to save the day, kids.
That should help.
Everything's okay now. Okay. Name's Vibe Amigo. Guest starring Peter Yost as.
Yeah, I was just going to. My God, the resemblance is uncanny.
I know. Vibe's looking a little Anglo here, though. I don't think the colorist got him right.
Well, I don't think he intend. Yeah. You got to always do Vibe in a Speedy Gonzalez voice.
I know, right? They call me the Elongated Man. I'm Vixen. John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. I answer to Gypsy. My code name is Steel. And everybody's favorite nuclear man makes it an uneven baker's half dozen. But for simplicity's sake, Pinky, it's Pale Scarlet. Thank you. Just call us the Justice League of America. And Kaz says, "Well, you're not exactly the Legion, but boy, am I glad you're here." Okay, Gypsy, get some shoes, girl. This is not the place to go barefoot.
Yeah.
There is like shrapnel, okay? I love her, but get some freaking shoes on.
But for reals, yeah.
For reals. Not for play-plays, for reals. And usually Zatanna would be part of this group, but with the storyline in JLA right now, she has left the group. That's why she is not part of this group. And Aquaman has also left Justice League Detroit.
Correct.
As of this moment, because he and Mera got back together, and then there was an Atlantis miniseries or an Aquaman miniseries one, yeah. where you had to stay in Atlantis for a while. So it's just Jean and the kids now, and Elongated Man, I guess. Meanwhile, they're back at Wiz TV, I guess, and the police are remarking what a mess Macro Man is, and. Billy is overhearing that the guy is dead, and some guy remarks outside that by the guy in the bright red suit
that matches that kid's sweater. Hey, yeah. Let's get him.
He was murdered by Santa Claus, the cop said. Billy is thinking, dear God, it's true. I didn't do it on purpose, but that still doesn't change what I did. Captain Marvel is responsible for the death of Macro Man, and that means I must never become Captain Marvel again. Never again. And first blood to Darkseid.
And he never did.
Nah, not really. Next month, things get worse. Breach of Faith. Be here. Not a bad first issue for an event.
Hell of a first issue. And what did we get out of that? It was...
Well, we got lots of pieces. We got just the Justice League showing up.
Man, that's 22 pages. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. A lot of stuff happened. We got a guest star from... the Legion, or at least a Legion member,
yeah,
we'll take it.
Yeah,
we got a seed planted for a new series that's going to be so cool. And we got a little action from the Titans. So yeah, they got all the major books that they had going on at the same time in here, except for Outsiders, which I know sounds like really that was a major book. It really was at the time.
Oh yeah, well,
Outsiders and Infinity Inc. because they got the Baxter treatment. So
that's right. Yeah, enough for that. So now, well, I mean. Yeah, because Infinity Inc. was Baxter right from the beginning.
Justice League never made it to Baxter.
No.
And that always kind of shocked me that they wouldn't have done.
Well.
I mean, this was a rough couple of years for Justice League. Because they were trying to turn the JLA into the X-Men, and it didn't work. But.
And then they went into a completely different direction, one that was quite successful for them for a number of years. And. Yep. And I think that they kind of wanted it to be more of a populist, sort of more of a populist kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And we will see the birth of the new Justice League out of Legends.
So. Very soon. Very soon. Exactly. So, so yeah, first issue of Legends. It was cool.
It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, this series, exposition... aside,
always,
and even with that, it holds up remarkably well.
Yes, it did.
You know, and there was a lot of water to carry because there was sort of some, hey, the whole world's new now. We gotta make sure that everybody knows exactly who these characters are and set it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of expositional water to carry, but with the exception of Cosmic Boy, why my magnetic powers, which use magnetism to move metal things, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So along with this, we'll also cover the Cosmic Boy miniseries, which doesn't start until the following month, and so we'll definitely cover that. And that leads into all kinds of crazy stuff that we've actually already covered.
it kind of does, yeah.
So. But we'll get to that.
We will this time.
And you know, rereading this, because I don't even know if I ever read Legends number one. I think I had like the rest of the series or like the last three, four, five, and six. And and so I don't know that I had ever read the first issue. So it was really cool to sort of get back to it. And I read it a couple of weeks ago when we first started talking about starting to make a move toward the Legends series. And it is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's a, you know, this is a solid crossover. Everything that most of the stuff that you need to happen happens in the book, and then the crossovers do expand on it. But it wasn't a oh look a red sky.
Yeah. Lightning. No. Yeah. Exactly. What happened? Well, I guess with Macro Man, yeah, lightning happened. But you know.
Oh, poor Macro Man. I'm sure we'll see him again.
Nope.
Never. Never nope. again.
That's why I didn't know. I was like, who is this guy? Oh, that's right. He dies. Because that was Baron Bedlam at work, in case anyone didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, that mean old Baron Bedlam. So yeah, I mean.
Dr. Bedlam. Sorry, not Baron Bedlam.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Dr. Bedlam.
Oh, my. So you got to think of, you know, this kind of ties into a lot. It's funny. I actually had to look up the when they had Godfrey on the TV. It made me think. It reminded me of what I thought was around the same time, which was the Iran-Contra hearings. But that wasn't. That wasn't until after. Actually, a year or so later. But it was that sort of. It was a big time of questioning in the 80s of the you know, a lot of this kind of stuff going on, a lot of sort of let's really talk about what this means, and it was entirely appropriate for them to be doing that in the Legion in the DCU, because it was new, and they were trying to present more of a real world paradigm mm-hmm. for everything that was going on. And and, you know, we were starting to see stuff like that, you know, things like congressional hearings and that televised. I mean, it had been televised before, but there was just more reach.
Oh, yeah, totally.
By this point. And I think that idea of, you know, sort of exposing what's going on was becoming a bigger and bigger deal, and so it really kind of ties into a whole lot of things, and so there's a lot of sort of that very mid 80s zeitgeist going on here, and mm-hmm. and it's, I mean, all stuff that still, you know, still rings true.
It does indeed.
Yeah,
it does indeed.
So we will dig into these over the next little while. You know, whenever Darren and I find ourselves alone in headquarters,
aww.
It will be time for Darren and Paul's event theater.
We need a theme.
We really do. I'll see what I can do.
dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, exactly.
Something John B. Williams, but not so epic-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. There's my creative brief.
I know, right?
All right.
You had feedback for us before we left, though.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Bang, pow,
see,
zap, biff, boff.
I forget everything.
I know, it's because you're old and drinking.
No, not really. Tonight it's...
okay, then it's because you're old.
Tonight it's a Coke Zero.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's water for me tonight, kids. I've got to drop some of the Christmas pounds because we decided some Dragon Con stuff, and I'm like, oh, crap. You got to lose some weight.
Yeah, you can't do the Cosmic Boy Bustier.
No, I would never. I would never do the Cosmic Boost again. But I'm doing Eric the Cavalier from Dungeons and Dragons for sure.
Nice.
So, yeah, Cavaliers aren't as Zoftig as I am. So, you know.
Fair enough.
More Christmas cookies for Darren.
Oh, so a few weeks ago, I'd read the question from Knighthood, who was asking about essential runs, and we discussed that actually at length mm-hmm. in the show in episode 322, Waiting for the Squirrel to Attack. when we looked at the,
I love that title.
When we revisited the Infinitus Saga, and he said, "Thanks for the discussion and ideas. I didn't expect to influence the podcast." And he says, "By the way, after Buddy Baker was reincarnated by the Red, he started exhibiting more animal characteristics, like the saber-tooth thing." He's right. I'd forgotten all about that.
There we go. Okay.
So, and he said, not only were there Chameleon Girl dupes in JLU7, but Tyrok dupes as well. The artist doesn't know the characters well, or something fishy is happening. Legion of Three Worlds-ish.
That could... you know, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And then he says,
I just want an explanation.
Yeah, that, absolutely. So. And then about 10 minutes later, he came back and said, by the way, the red Tyrock outfit and purple camgirl outfit was used in the JLU annual splash page. Mm-hmm. So, because we were questioning when those turned up. So excellent feedback, sir. Thank you very much. And then last week for our commentary of the Christmas story for our Christmas episode, Darren.
Yes.
Jim B says, happy holidays, subs. May you all be blessed with major awards. And woo-hoo! this is the last episode for the year.
It is.
So
it
is. May the new year bring everybody else out there major awards.
Indeed. Everyone have a very happy and safe New Year's Eve wherever you will be. And raise a glass safely.
Indeed.
Call Uber. Or Lyft or whatever you have to do. Don't drive and drink.
No.
That is bad.
Yeah, my city's made transit free for the whole night.
Well, there you go.
Which I think is a great idea, and a lot of cities could do well to do something of that sort. But if they don't, it's no excuse.
It is no excuse. If that's the plan, then save a little money for the cab ride home, exactly. Because there's no reason for it. None. So
absolutely.
Either crash where you are or call a friend or something. So I'll be studying for the GMAT that night.
And, so. and thank you for listening to PSA Cast.
I know, right?
I'm having a threesome
for New Year's Eve. It's me, Anderson Cooper, and Kathy Griffin.
Hey now. Nice, nice. we've got a party across the street to go to. And,
wow, can you make it that far?
Yeah, kids are welcome. And so we usually put the kids down for a little nap over there and then wake them up at midnight and drag them back over here. So
indeed.
Yeah. So a happy new year to everybody. Again, may you all win major awards. And shall we wrap this up?
Indeed. Let's wrap it up.
Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcast as at...
Blah, 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 blah.
Needed a few more Cthulhu's in me, apparently.
I think you needed one less.
Well, no. I've been down to Coke Zero tonight.
it's all those chemicals.
Yeah, exactly.
Comments, you Canadians aren't used to that.
Hey, now. comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. In addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, as the fine folks from whom I just read missives went, and you can go to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we're going to head back to the past to eat at a burger in a greasy diner with just a trench coat over our costume, because that's how we roll.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, and we will see you all next week.
Oh, legends.